Welcome to the Power Friendship Podcast, episode 125, 26, it's something, be in there. We have a special guest today, the homie G. Introduce yourself.
This is Swanee Gentleman, better known as the Ratchet Green Ranger on TikTok. Thank y'all for having me. Happy Saturday, happy New Year, all that good stuff.
Hey. I love it. Drink your water. But nah. I
gotta stay hydrated. I feel like these water bottles are a scam.
Yeah. Sometimes it'd be like that. But I'm Sailor Gaines. This is your second co-host, Benny J. Mother Fife and Blanco. And we're here to give you your daily dose of friendship. We're gonna have some questions. We gotta get the answers. The Green Ranger here. We got questions. We're talking about here all things. But first off, Swa, how are you doing?
I'm doing excellent. I'm feeling good. You know, good, nice rest. Recovering from, you know, working out at the gym yesterday. Because, you know, leg days. I'm pretty sure I'm going to feel DOMS in a minute, though. But I'm feeling pretty good. I can't complain.
I love it. Okay. First question. I love your TikToks. I love your video. I love your everything about you. I love about you. But, like, what was the most, have you been recognized outside yet? Have you been recognized? Like, do you get, like, recognized?
Nah.
No? Not yet?
I haven't been recognized. It might happen, but, I actually take that back. The only time I've ever been recognized was in the old apartment complex that I used to live in Vegas. There was this kid by the name of Malachi who actually watched my content, and he actually would see me as I'm, like, taking out the trash, going to the gym, or checking the mail, and he would ask me when am I going live, or when do I got any new content planned. So that's really the only person that ever recognized me for doing TikTok was somebody that lived in the same complex that I lived in, because I pretty much stayed to myself, and I mind my business, and then I do my thing, and I was like, so sometimes I only really had one op that I really, you know, the situation was dead. It was only one person. Like, maybe this is a bit of a flex for me, but I'm really that one person on social media that only had one person coming after him. And that was really it. And that situation ended before the new year kicked off, because I was like, I'd be damned if I go to this into like 2014. Mm-hmm. But as far as me as a content creator and as a person, I don't consider having ops and stuff like that. And if I have ops just for, you know, being myself and, you know, not for anything problematic, you know, that's not my problem. That's a problem on somebody else. If you make me your op and I ain't did nothing to you, it's two things. You have some deep-seated issues to work on, or you're doing this for clout. Because when I literally make my content, I post and bounce. If anybody has a problem with what I'm doing, that's something internally they gotta fix. That's not nothing for me to be concerned about, you know? So, and again, I know there's gonna be people that hate my content, but to genuinely hate me? Oh my goodness, I just got a cop pop up. There we go. But to genuinely hate
me. Are you fine?
Okay, but genuinely hate me for doing what I do, there's something wrong with it. And I will always maintain that.
I like that. Right on, brother.
You were trained by the great guy sensei, bro. So,
man, you're the goat.
Oh, this shirt. This shirt is made by a black woman business owned. Shout out to One Crafting Mama who actually gifted me this shirt. So.
I had to represent. Go buy the shirt. ASAP.
Go buy the merch.
I know you dropped some merch. I know you dropped some. Heard something coming. Something was cooking.
So,
like, I'm excited for that. I see some things. Here you go.
Yeah. So my merch is actually dropped 2 years ago. However, like, we didn't start getting a couple of sales until maybe last year. the person who designed my merch, he came to me with the idea of designing my merch, and then, you know, we split profits and, you know, the business side of that. So his name is Brother Bailey. He has his own content. He streams on Twitch. He's a content creator of in his own right. So shout out to him for designing the merch, from the shirts into like the stickers. And we, and at one point we did have hoodies and jackets, but we removed them due to the seasons and stuff like that. But there is, you know, there is plan for more merch in the future. Just taking it day by day and time by time. You know, this side of social media is new to me. Like, being the popular one on social media, it's a new thing because of all social media, you know. So it's one thing that I'm still getting used to. Even though this is like me being into what, year four of where I'm at in TikTok with, you know, pushing nearly 100,000. Okay. So this is still a process that's new to me. And where did they go?
What? Can you hear us?
Where did they go?
Are you signing? Are you ASL right now?
You gotta learn how to do that.
Oh. The echo comes out? Yo, when it pauses, okay, it should fix, because it fixes it when I edit it. That's what's funny. Like, it fixes all this when I edit.
Make sure that we didn't go anywhere.
Swah, where you at?
Dude, you gotta fix your internet, bro.
It's not that. It's the Riverside of it. It's always, it did it with a lot of energies I had, but it fixed it in post. It was crazy.
Again, folks, I apologize about the technical difficulties.
Let me see if he's frozen. I think he's frozen. Let me see. This happened to you, right?
Oh, plenty of times, bro.
Yeah, okay, so when you freeze, when it freezes, does it unfreeze?
Well, I mean, it does, like, eventually, depending.
Because usually it freezes. Okay, I'm going to see if he's on. I'm going to fix for my boy. Swah!
Where'd you meet him?
On TikTok.
Hey, you know,
I just said on TikTok. I can't
help how
you took that. It's on TikTok.
That's cool.
Are you frozen? Yeah, are you frozen? Are you frozen?
Bro, I did some chess the other day. Man, my fucking chest hurts, bro.
Ah, wait. He's back.
Ah. Fucking did all this chess work. My fucking titties hurt.
Hey, man. Growing things. It says he did the thing. I'm not cutting this out. I'm not editing this out. I think Ron does it for me. It says you're here.
Oh, I think I saw the John Wicks officially.
Is John Wick 4? John Wick 4 is like 3 hours long.
I saw it, bro.
Really?
Dude, I love it. I watched it like every single John Wick in 1 week. I was like, fuck it. They had the 3 on Netflix, and then I rented the 4th one.
Let me see. It's my boy.
Insane, bro. Insane action sequences. Like, almost minimum cuts.
Oh, boy. Come back. Hold on. I got a plan. It's minimum cuts? Let me see.
Well, like, you know, like, it's not like quick cuts and shit like that. It's, like, kind of steady. And the cinematography for the 4th one is amazing. They do this, like, bird-eye view, like Metal Gear Solid 1 type shit, where he's going through walls and fighting people. Shit's really, really cool, man.
Yeah, baby, do. Sorry, we'll be right back, but we got an intermission. I'm not editing this out. So, yeah, we're not editing this out. No, I'm not. We're doing this live.
But while we do this live, I gotta heat up something.
What are you doing?
Heat up my coffee, bro.
Oh, brother, okay. This guy stinks.
Oh, of course, I'll look at you. I'm gonna say the word.
Why you drinking water?
Bro, it's the weekend, bro.
It doesn't matter. Discipline. Drink water.
Soak one. You ever thought about that?
I heard that. What'd you eat today? All right, then you hear me. Sign away. We're gonna wait. Have an intermission. Anywho, how are you guys doing? How are you guys today? I'm gonna put a question in the thing today. Who's your favorite Power Ranger? I wanna ask him. Well, I know he's gonna say the Green Ranger, but maybe not, because I don't know. But the question is gonna be, who's your favorite Power Ranger? That's the question. That's the question of the day. You know, who your favorite Power Ranger is? Or did you watch Power Rangers? Yeah, that's a cool question of the day, because I'm gonna figure it out. But that's what I'm gonna do. That's the question of the day. Benny and the Jazz Hayes. Hey, we back.
Okay, this is better this time because I'm on my phone.
Yeah, hey, let's get it. I keep that thing on me. All right.
You already know. Let's go.
Gay.
He over here doing jumping jacks. So I guess we got to. We got to do the intro again.
We doing a lot. We doing a live.
You know what meme I love? I don't know if you've seen it online. It'll be like December 31st, 2023. And it'll be like January 1st, 2023 remaster. I don't know why that killed. That made me laugh. I don't know why.
Yeah, we doing a lot. We doing a lot.
Look at what we've been through in the last few years. So it's like, I don't think anything could be different and stuff like that. Right. And then the next thing you know, stuff didn't happen, and we already 6 days in.
Jeez. All right, yeah, we're fine.
We got guys flying to the judges on the courthouse, man. We got aliens. We got aliens running in Miami. You didn't hear about the
aliens running in Miami. Yeah,
It was like an eight foot tall like figure, and they shut down this mall. Cops coming on, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? 6 days in.
We're doing a lot.
I can't even believe that. That's some funny madness, right there.
That's crazy. All right, we gotta ask this question. Who is your favorite Power Ranger?
That's why he's frozen.
Who is your favorite Power Ranger?
He froze. Not. There we go. Okay. He's back in it. There we go.
Yep. Who's your favorite Power Ranger?
My favorite Power Ranger. Okay, outside of Jason. Because I think Jason David Frank, may he rest in peace. Because everybody's gonna assume that, but my favorite Power Ranger after Jason David Frank is Brandon McLaren, who played Jack in Power Ranger SPD. That's my
SPD was the one. Okay.
My only gripe with SPD, you know where I'm finna go with this, Sky. Sky, listen. Yeah.
Yeah,
the majority of the first few episodes, he whined and complained about being the Blue Ranger, and then until that one moment where he got to be the Red Ranger to avenge his daddy. I'm like, bruh, you complaining about being a Blue Ranger? I'm like, we know why you're the Blue Ranger. You got that tight ass tightwad cop attitude as a Power Ranger.
Sky was a hater. Okay. Cool. What about Power Rangers you love? What do you love about Power Rangers?
I think what I love about Power Rangers is the fact that as a series, it's ever growing, and then certain Sentai episodes that weren't Americanized, you could always go back and look at it. And then what else I love about the Power Rangers is the fact that every Ranger has personality characteristics as to why they were chosen to be Rangers. You know, no Ranger is the same as his counterpart, you know, and of course the Zords and of course the suits and the helmets. But I think what it really is like they're tapping into their inner selves to become heroes already. And the fact that 9 times out of 10, they're balancing saving the world and being teenagers. You know, when we're talking about the first few seasons of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, so like Zeo, the Turbo, in space. Well, technically, were they teenagers in space or were they adults? I'm not sure.
I think they were adults. They were like, and they were same thing. Right. You're learning your stride, like middle, like when you get to college, you're like, all right, man, this is the real deal now.
You know, and you know. And I think that's something cool that, you know, you're seeing people that you're seeing teenagers, and you're seeing people that, okay, I can be a hero, but I can do it in another way. You know what I'm saying? And then for us, for me and you, Tevin, specifically as African-American men, it's dope to see that, you know, there are African-American Rangers out there. So we see people that look like us on TV being represented, you know? Because everybody loves Walter Jones, the original Black Ranger, or Selwyn Ward, TJ from
DJ.
TJ from Turbo and in Space.
The first black leader. The first black leader of the Power Rangers.
The first black leader. Or even like Reggie from Lost Galaxy or Joel from Lightspeed Rescue, you know? Mm-hmm. Or even, I think her name is Katie from Time Force?
Yeah. Yeah.
Katie from Time Force, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. Ooh, so, that's good, man.
So for me, that's why I love Power Rangers. That's what it means to me, because you're seeing people that already have hero characteristics inside of them become actual heroes and saving the planet and universe on a daily basis.
Okay. Nice. I love it. I love it. All right. I got to put you on the spot. All right.
Oh, shit.
I got to put you on the spot. All right. You got your Power Rangers team. All right. I got five. Who's your,
is Tevin glitching into the void?
Yeah, it's weird. It's man. Like Riverside always, it always does that.
Riverside, right. Okay.
We're fixing posts. Oh, so,
all right.
So, yeah, Riverside is weird. Shout out to Riverside. Y'all okay, but sometimes, man.
I'm about to be put on the spot. Here we go.
Yeah, okay, oh, so. Shit. Who are the top? Who, all right, out of your Rangers, okay? You know what? No, let's do this. Create your own Ranger team. Give me, out of people in your life that you know, create your own Ranger team. Who's your Red Ranger?
My Red Ranger. Ooh, my own Ranger team out of my own life. Ooh, snap. That's a hard one because I gotta really think about that in terms of like people that I rock with. Damn, this is hard. Now, if we're talking about people that support me on TikTok, could we add them?
Yeah, hey, yeah, man. It's your team. You're Zordon, man. Do your thing, baby. Okay. Do your thing.
Okay, so one person that would be the Red Ranger is a content creator by the name of Ranger Slayer, because she had the Power Ranger of the Power Sword before I had it, and she had like branded herself as like the Red Ranger on her TikTok account when she was doing Power Ranger content. So that's who I would pick as the Red Ranger. It would be a woman.
Hey, Red Ranger. I like that. Let's get it.
Okay.
All right, we got Blue. You're Blue. Give me your Blue.
Blue Ranger. Shoot. Damn, this is a difficult one. Blue Ranger. You know what? I'm gonna have to give it to you, Tevin. I'm gonna have to give it to you, Blue Ranger.
I'm gonna have to give it to you
because, you know, you got a charming personality about you, and you're into fitness just like I am, so you already exude that strength, you know? And you already exude that confidence through your strength, so Tevin would definitely be the Blue Ranger.
What? Oh damn. I don't Okay, cool. He's all right. Yep.
Yeah.
He's yellow. So. He's shocked. Yeah. He's shocked.
Yellow.
Man.
Yellow.
He's yellow. Shocked. Yellow Ranger. Yellow Ranger. Society made the Joker.
Oh shit.
Society made the Joker, and this is on the basis of early 2021. I stitched her video where she was talking about the Power Rangers and stuff like that, and she said, "Green Ranger, you're filler," and I stitched it. And I was rolling because I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. What? I'm feeling her? Wait a damn minute. But then again, she also did a video about wanting the Power Rangers to delve into more mature topics or mature themes because, you know, a lot of the fan base is getting older. And it would be nice to see like more mature elements into like the Power Rangers. That's why I actually like the Power Rangers 2017 movie, because yeah, the suits were not that great and the Megazord battle was not that great, but each individual Ranger had real life problems that,
yeah.
Right. Each individual Ranger had real life issues that any teenager who was going through could relate to. So the theme was more relatable in modern day times, but definitely society made the Joker would be the Yellow Ranger. You know, she has a bright personality. She's outspoken. And, you know, she knows her stuff about movies and anime and things of that nature. So she's definitely would have the Yellow Ranger.
Oh, okay. Pink. Give me your pink. Give me your pink. Give me your pink.
Shit. See, here's the thing.
I would make the dude a pink one. I would go crazy. I wouldn't care. I mean, that's personally me.
Who would I have as a pink ranger? See, here's the thing. Like, knowing that, like, Tommy and Kimberly dated, like, that spot would be reserved for whoever I date or whatever. Because,
okay, whoever the boo.
But if we're just talking about somebody not like boo material, there's another content creator who actually, I believe she cosplayed the Pink Ranger. She's on TikTok. Her name is Miss Jetty on TikTok. And yeah, I believe she cosplayed the Pink Ranger at one point because I've seen her content. And so I think I would have to give Miss Jetty the Pink Ranger slot.
Black Ranger. Who's the Black Ranger? Who's Black Ranger, baby?
Black Ranger.
That's a tough one. The black man,
you gotta
put on your back, baby.
You know what? Y'all, you might laugh at this, you might not. I think I would have to give the Black Ranger the King Lion.
What? You know what? He's the type of person that will make the Ranger, like the Black Ranger, like the leader, like the girl did in Time Force. He will make the Black Ranger. He will ascend, but past the levels of
Here's another thing. I can see if King Lion was the Black Ranger, I can see him cursing out Zordon every chance he did.
We gotta do what? We gotta go out with?
Hold on. And make it better. If you watch King Lion's content on TikTok, the times where he has that leash, I would have him say, "I'm dog walking you, Zordon," and I'll just be in the corner like,
"Oh,
what that got to do with me?"
All right. Okay, so the Green Ranger. I mean, you're the Green Ranger.
The Green Ranger.
Who's the White Ranger?
That goes me.
Ranger, you gotta
figure out who's.
That goes to me.
Okay. Just ask you the T. All right, I love it.
The dragon.
You keep that flag on her.
Yeah, that would go to me, you know?
I love it. Also, another thing. Siri, we get serious here. I love that you talk about mental health. I love that so much. I love that, like...
That's not a real like, thing.
People don't usually talk about it as dudes. People don't talk about it as much,
and especially as men of color, like we are. Ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
And the craziest thing is that I've noticed as like time and society has progressed, it's still like halfway for us as men of color, because you got one half that's actually talking about it, that's actually not afraid to talk about it and are comfortable talking about it. And then you have the other hand that don't believe that it's real. They don't believe that it affects us. They don't even believe in other mental health illnesses such as attention deficit hyperactive disorder, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, or even depression. So it's divided at this point from my point of view, because on one hand, you got all these resources and all these people talking about it. And on the other hand, you have all these people that don't believe that it's real or it's a thing or that it affects us. And being people of color, we probably always heard that mental health illnesses or conditions are white people stuff, you know, but it's not. And then, you know, and it's not, because as a person, not only that has an associate's degree in psychology, but I've been through that and I've dealt with it as a child, being having ADHD since, you know, I was little, I can tell you it's a real thing, and people will look at you different because your mind processes information differently, or you don't pick up on jokes that quickly, or it takes you a longer amount of time to understand something, you know? So
yeah, Oh, sorry. So, I'm so sorry.
Go ahead, man. go ahead, man.
Oh, I suffered from a concussion about 4 years ago, mm-hmm. I watch football. You see concussions like crazy, and you see the outcome when it's untreated. And having a concussion, like, I didn't know the impact and the long-term effects, but it mm-hmm. did, like, mess me up to an extent where, like, a part of my brain did not create serotonin. And when that happens, it's a domino effect unless you take care of it. And thank God that I see a therapist, I take my medication and other stuff like that, but, like, you know, I suffer from depression, anxiety, but it's also things that I see in my family too. I mean, and when you say it to your parents, they're like, "Oh, I've never been sad or depressed." It's like, what? I've heard you say the most craziest shit ever. Normal people don't say that.
Right.
But the good thing is the next generation, our kids, our kids' kids, that's going to be like maybe 70-80% like acceptable, as fucked up as that may sound.
Right.
But I mean, like, I feel like we're the first bred of generation that is aware of it. And of course, yeah, we're still fighting the battle of like, look, it's been a thing. Like, it's been a thing since the beginning of time. I mean, like, you could go back to old records and be like, yeah, that dude definitely has schizophrenia. I mean, but, you know, different cultures will think of different things. And unfortunately, like, here in America, it's like, you just got to keep on working. Just keep on working.
Right.
You know? But fuck that. It's like, you can't do much if you're not taking care of this, man. Taking care of this, taking care of this.
Because there were certain days where I couldn't go to work and I couldn't, you know, I had no energy to do anything. You know, like, I remember there's times that I have called out of work because I needed to just rest and take care of my mind and, I wasn't emotionally regulated and my emotions were out of control. Like, I would be quick to anger and things of that nature. So you can't, the problem is in this country, they want you to outwork your mental health, but that's not a possibility because there's going to be a time where your mind and your body is going to tell you, sit down, rest, shut out the world, recuperate, and try again tomorrow and in a few days. And the fact that, you know, people keep trying to outwork their mental health in this day and age is sad and it's frightening because you're suppressing your feelings, you're suppressing things that you haven't dealt with, you're suppressing grief that you haven't processed, all to keep being a part of the modern day work world, which, you know, everybody has to, you know, pay bills, do their thing. We get that, but at the same time, if you spontaneously combust physically or mentally, you're no good to the people around you if you're not taking care of yourself. You know,
I agree.
Something as simple as just staying home from work can help to do wonders and stuff like that. Yeah, you're going to be penalized at your job because they have those stupid attendance rules, but at the same time, I'd rather take a hit on my attendance than to take a hit on my mental health. Than and possibly be in the hospital because I didn't take care of myself properly.
That's true. What are some things you do to help with your mental health? Like, what do you do?
Sometimes if my mental health has gotten bad, like if there is moments of like depression and things of that nature, I usually just sit to myself, listen to music, or if I'm in the mood to write. Like, I'll write in a journal that I've had or a notebook that I had. I probably have a notebook. Yeah, my notebook is actually underneath my table. And I'll just process my thoughts or just, you know, be with myself and process my emotions and just, you know, figure out what's going on. Or is it something that happened or is it just a chemical imbalance? So taking that time to figure out what's going on and figure out how I can get myself on track is best and mostly needed. And, you know, sometimes watching your favorite television show can actually help. You know, sometimes you sit down, watch a few episodes of anime or, you know, watch that one favorite video on YouTube, and that'll actually help. Like, there's this one video. I remember in 2017, around the spring of 2017, there was this one video I saw on YouTube that was a piano cover of Ryan Leslie's song Addiction. Remember the singer Ryan Leslie?
Yeah.
I'm addicted to, there was a whole piano cover of that, and this dude did it, and it's old, and it has like hundreds of millions of views now. And so from time to time, if I'm thinking about it, I'll go find it and listen to it, you know? And so it's soothing, it helps, and that really works for me.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. What is something you wish people would talk? I mean, mental health aspect. Which part of mental health you think more people should talk about?
I think more people should talk about what it's like to. And I've seen this, but I want to see it more. I want to see more people talking about what it's like to grow up with ADHD. And for those who are autistic or on the autism spectrum, I want to hear more conversations and talks what that's like, because we often hear people talk about depression, suicide, those two things, you know, but we never hear things that, you know, you're going through as a young child, which is ADHD or, you know, autism or any type of behavioral disorders that, you know, can alter your behavior, and you've dealt with this the entire time of your life. Like, I've had ADHD since I was about 3 years old, and I'm a former special education student for it. And a majority of my elementary school time, I was in special ed. And I had to learn differently because my mind processes information differently. And then, you know, talk about what it's like when you go through that. And also talk about the intricacies of each of these disorders. Like with ADHD, it's not just limited to being hyper-focused and, you know, losing focus all the time. It affects, you know, your perception of time. It affects you, you know, remembering things. It affects you, like, misplacing things and not knowing where to find them as soon as you misplace them. Like, for example, when we were trying to get on the computer, I was looking for my mouse, and it's right in front of me. and then it also affects how you eat. Sometimes there have been times where I've only ate once per day. There's been certain times where I've eaten like not even eating that day, because, you know, the body recognizes it's hungry, but then again, it's the executive function of your mind. It's like, okay, I'm hungry. What do I want to eat? What do I have an appetite for? And then sometimes if we get all too much, and then sometimes you experience sensory overloads where the mind gets overloaded at stuff that any small inconvenience will upset you. Like, for example, I have a cat. My cat is actually chilling, sleeping behind me. And there was this one day where she actually scratched up my Jordans. And I was having a bad day already. I was overwhelmed, and I got irritated. Like, what the f-? So something as simple as that. Now, my cat don't know better. She just saw something. It looks fun, and she's going to sharpen her nails on it. But I want to see more people are talking about the intricacies of those, and as well as, you know, anxiety, because I am diagnosed with general anxiety disorder. So start talking about those more often outside of depression, because yes, depression and suicide are things to be talked about, but let's start talking more about ADHD, anxiety, how autism affects those who are diagnosed with autism, or how schizophrenia affects those who are diagnosed with schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. The list goes on and on. So the more we talk about those particular mental health conditions, I think the more it'll be better.
I like that. I like that. I like that. As a dude, what should more dudes talk about? I love how you just talk about things.
Right. More dudes should talk about. As men, we should talk about. Oh damn, because this is a hard one. Because that's part of it, but I believe that we should talk about more of what happens in our individual relationships when it deals with women, because, you know, I understand that there are some men out there that do some horrible things to women, but the same goes true. And more men should. Here's the thing. more men should talk about that without judgment from other women who may feel that he did something to his significant other to cause the abuse that he suffered. And I think the problem is with men, especially us being men of color, we don't want to mention that because we don't want to get persecuted by other women of color who think that we did something to cause the abuse that we suffered. Just like there are abusive men, let me rewrite that. Just like there are unhealed men, there are unhealed women. And I really want to see more of that being talked about. And I know there's a way you can do it without bashing the other person. It's just expressing yourself. And it's sad that we can't do that collectively as men without that happening. You know, let's say you mention you were physically assaulted by a woman and you share that on like social media, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. The first thing to come out of somebody's mouth is, well, what did you do to cause the abuse? Like,
oh,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I've had that happen. Yep.
What do you mean? Yeah. What did I do? I didn't do anything. There's an adult that does not know how to regulate their emotions, and instead of talking to me, they decided to hit me. Now, I'm going to say this. I personally never have been through this, but I have had friends that have been through this where they've had significant others hit them and get into fights with significant others, and I've heard stories. My thing is, I'm a simple person. The moment you put your hands on me, if we're in a relationship, I'm leaving. That's the end of the relationship. Because if I respond in self-defense, there's 9 times out of 10 is a chance that I'm likely going to be incarcerated because I'm a man and law enforcement will view me stronger than a woman, even if I'm defending myself. So the best option for that is to leave. But I really want to see men opening up about, you know, what they've been through with women and share that, but also share it in a way where it's not, you know, demeaning women as a whole, but more sharing of this is what I went through and this is how I survived it. And into anybody that's going through an abusive relationship, leave, you know? But I think the problem is when we see these videos, they explain it and then they bash women as a whole. They don't take the time to say, not all women are like this. This was just my experience. But if you're in a similar experience, leave. Leave the person. Don't give them another chance. You matter more than they think you matter. You know, I think that's a big problem with certain dudes that get on social media and express their disdain for women. And it's not for all women. It's just that one woman that did them wrong, you know. I want that to be explained in a way that you're not bashing women in the process.
I also can interject in that statement saying that also as men of color, like, because it, let's say, because for me, I date a white woman. So you might get like weird comment from either other men or other women. Why are you dating a white girl? Blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. That shit gets so old and so annoying because I'm like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, yo, like, this is who I'm attracted to. They're attracted to me. And the woman can be hearing the same thing about why are you dating a Puerto Rican man or like a medical. It's that shit. And like, I try to be as vocal as I can when I talk about that to friends because I hear a lot of people be like, yeah, I can't. I want to date a white woman. I'm like, curious, I mean, huh?
Love who you want to love, man. Be who you want to be. Love you want to love. Be who you want to be. Okay.
Okay. Listen. You know that part. That when it comes to interracial dating, I'm the same way. But as you said, of men in color, the one thing that I don't like that I've seen done, and maybe y'all have seen this done, and I swear it's like science. The moment somebody gets with a person of another race, they start bashing the men or women of the same race.
He's right. I know you're about to say. And I know what to say.
I'm like, wait, whoa, 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 time out. Why are you speaking about the same men of the same race as you as if you're speaking about them as a racist person? That's my only problem. Again, Tevin is right. Date who you want to date, love who you want to love. But there comes a thin line between, you know, interracial dating for revenge and interracial dating just with genuine intentions. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't, you know, I don't care who anybody dates, you know, if that person steps to you, you got things in common, you find them attractive, you feel safe with talking to them, you feel safe with expressing vulnerability to them, then that's your business. But my thing is, and I've seen this as a black man, don't date somebody of another race and then down black women. That's one thing I don't like, because, and I've seen that all throughout my life. I've seen that a fellow black man to get a white woman or a Asian woman, Pacific Islander, Latina, Middle Eastern, what have you, and they start bashing black women like the moment that they get with them, you know, and then try to make that the norm of that's what other black men should do. Like, I've actually had that said to me, man, Swall, you got to leave the sisters alone. Get you a white girl. Get you an Asian girl. I'm like, the hell? And then, since I'm a blur, I think that stereotype. Oh, that stereotype with me liking anime goes hand in hand. And I'm like, like, and again, there's nothing wrong with white women or women of other races, but I love black women. Straight up. You know?
Like what you like. You like what you like.
Exactly, you know? And that's one thing that I want to, that needs to cease. Okay, date who you want to date, but don't bash the same race of men and women that you are, because, you know, issues, man. Got me preaching.
Hey, you tell it. Hey, bro, I love that, man. I was like, yes, this is my guy. This is like, because we've done this being blurs. Yeah, being one of them blurs, man. I said, go on, Pastor. Go on. I'm about to say, but right. Being one of the blurs.
You know, and I've also seen blurs that are, you know, in relationship with other blurs. So, but I think that's the main stereotype as a blur, no matter if you're a black man, woman, or non-binary person, that your love interest will always be of somebody of another race.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's far from the truth. You know, and I got a funny story time for y'all about that. I used to work for a sports betting app, right? And one of my coworkers thought the girl that I was dating at the time was white. And I took immediate offense to that, because I know our open dress code at the place I used to work. I know I come to work with like anime gear on. Sometimes I have one of my Linkin Park t-shirts on, or, you know, my Power Rangers t-shirts on. But that don't mean I date white girls. Like, why would you look at me and assume that? Like, my biggest thing with that is, yes, I'm a black man who is different, the L7, the square, the nerd, or whatever. But that doesn't mean that I don't love black women. And that doesn't mean that just because of my hobbies and my likes and what I do means that I'm going to date outside of my race. No, that's not how that works. You know?
Well, it's assumptions, man. It's just assumptions. Like how you said about mental health, it's a white person thing. So when you're wearing anime, when you're wearing the Linkin Park thing, society assumes that's a white person shit. And it's just like, bro.
That's it right there.
Bro. Here's the thing. So the game Tekken, right? Made by an Asian company, right?
Right.
The dominant player base is black.
Thanks.
I will say that to my dying breath. Black. Street Fighter, Spanish and black. And then Mortal Kombat, I could say, is a mixture of a lot. But like, the Street Fighter and Tekken, oh man, you're going to see a lot of brothers. You're going to see a lot of sisters. You're going to see a lot of Spanish people. Loving those games.
Bro, I grew up playing Street Fighter. I grew up...
Blanca is legit the symbol of Brazil.
Man, I swear, I grew up playing Street Fighter. Hold on one second.
Let's see.
Because you done made me go to the collection. Like, are you kidding? All I need is six, the 30th anniversary collection, and five, champion edition. You know, this video, the series holds a special place in my heart because I grew up with it. I grew up remembering the Street Fighter cartoon. I have the Street Fighter 2 animated movie on my computer. I remember the Kickstarter project for Street Fighter's Assassin Fist that was released on Machinima. Also, I have the Street Fighter Alpha movie on DVD.
Let's go. Classic. Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character, one of my favorite characters is Sagat, and that's due to character development.
Sagat is the... Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to sound so fucked up. But like, so many black guys that I've known throughout my life love Sagat. Because Sagat, I think, is low-key black, bro.
That American voice, as you can see, but Sagat is... Sagat is actually from Thailand. Mm-hmm. And what I like about Sagat's story is he started off motivated by revenge because Ryu gave him that scar from the Shoryuken. And once he figured out that being motivated by anger and revenge would not get him the desired results, he changed his ways. He even left Shadaloo. He even left Bison in him and forged his own path. He said, yeah, this ain't going to work for me, so I'm going to do something else. Because if I keep being motivated by this, I'm never going to accomplish what I want to accomplish as a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So Sagat is one of my favorite characters. Of course, Ken and Ryu. Akuma is one of my favorite characters.
Akuma's a dude, man. The first secret character in fighting games.
Man.
He's a man.
My first time playing Akuma, honestly, because I didn't get a chance to play like the Super Street Fighter Turbo Edition, so I had to go backwards. My first memory of using Akuma was Street Fighter Alpha 3. I remember there was this local video store back where I used to live in Oakland, California, and they had an arcade machine. And I would always, you know, stop by there to play. And myself and I guess the owner's sons, we would always play. We would take turns with the characters that we selected. Like, let's say one go around, we use Ken. One go around, we use Ryu. Or one go around, we used Akuma. We would take turns in using that. And, man, remembering the arcade days of video games, man, that was fun. But definitely Akuma because of the simple fact that he was just badass, the red hair, the gi. And then, you know, if you use Shin Akuma, the gi changes colors and stuff like that. But that purple with that red combination, ooh. Oh my goodness.
Uh-oh.
But definitely Sagat is my favorite because of the character development as you see him progress into, like, you know, the other Street Fighter games or where his mentality is, because he's not even associated with Shadaloo by the time the events of what, Street Fighter V? Because he's not even, he's been away from M. Bison and them.
But like, so like, going back to the thing about like, just because you like anime, blah blah blah, white dude, like there's so many blurs out there, and they're fucking awesome. And I always ask, like, you know, just curious, like, why do you like anime? And it's almost a common answer, and I love it. It's a getaway. It's a fantasy. It's going into a whole different world, and these characters have the same problems. And yeah, they may not look like you, but their problems are like so similar to you. It's so just transcending. It's so amazing. It's like you can even go to old school, like Dragon Ball Z. You know, that the lesson is, you know, just keep on keeping on. Just keep on training and just never give
up.
Discipline, and it's just like, bro, it's amazing, bro. It's not reserved to one specific ethnicity out there. It's literally for anybody, man. It's like, I love it.
My reason for loving anime is part of that, and then the art style of anime, like certain animes, because like if you've ever paid attention, like the art style, like of certain animes, like. The drawings of the anime characters is damn near human-like, right? Yeah. The only difference is like probably like the eyes, but everything else is spot on to like real life and stuff like that. And then the stories, and then when you pay attention to the stories, and then when you see yourself in these characters, and when you see yourself relating to these characters, you know, it hits differently than just watching that anime stuff. Like when you can relate to things that's going on, like I'm gonna use Attack on Titan for example. So at the start of season, at the end of season three, the start of season four, for those of you who are anime only watchers, you discovered Marley, and you discover that they're lying about the truth of the Island of Paradise, and that they're lying about the people on Paradise Islands being devils and things of that nature. And then if we translate that into American society and American history, there is a lot of information that is being withheld from the American public as it pertains to people of color. That's one parable that I noticed in Attack on Titan. I was like, wait a minute, hold up. Because when you sit back and you analyze stuff, I'm like, wait a minute, Marley is acting like the bruh. But and it all goes down to also the individual character stories and their goals of what they want to accomplish. Like Midoriya from My Hero Academia, he wants to be a hero, but he was born without quirk, but he inherited his quirk from All Might, and he worked his ass off to build his power, build his quirk, and make it his own. You know, even surpassing Bakugo, who believed that since he had quirk from, you know, day one, that he's entitled to greatness, and even made fun of Midoriya when they were kids. But Midoriya still wanted to be around him for some reason, you know, but he ended up surpassing him. And I'm actually excited for season seven. But also I want to see the movies, too. I never got a chance to see the My Hero Academia movies. So I do want to see the movies as well. But that's one thing that I like about anime. It's different. No two anime are the same. Animes have genres just like movies. And what I've learned is you have to treat every anime different. It's not always going to be action. It's not always going to be suspense. So certain animes you have to laugh at, like Spy Family. I got into watching Spy Family maybe a year and a half ago, and I was expecting action and stuff like that, but I have to look at it from an aspect, okay, this is kind of funny as well. It's less on the action and more on the funny, because there is this spy that is has a mission to pretend to stop a war between two nations. And in this process, he has to pretend to be a father and a psychologist. Woman, your Thorn Princess, she has to pretend to be a mom while being an assassin. Anya has to pretend, Anya has to pretend to be their kid while also being a telepath. And then the dog, if you've gotten into that part, the dog can predict the future. So it's four people in the house, but don't nobody know who each other is, but they're all pretending to be a family, you know? And so with anime, what I had to learn is it's not always about action and fighting. Sometimes there's make animes that make you laugh. Sometimes there's animes that shock you. And then sometimes there's animes you get fight scenes. And there's a scene in anime that we're not going to talk about.
Oh, man.
We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about Bruno.
Okay, give me five anime hot takes right now.
Five anime hot takes. Shoot. Five anime hot takes. The ending of The Promised Neverland was underwhelming because it deviated from the manga. What's another one? Sailor Moon is not mid, despite what anybody would say about Sailor Moon. I just finished watching Sailor Moon Crystal, and I was watching it, and then I took a break and then got into other stuff. I just finished watching Sailor Moon Crystal. My only gripe about that is that short. I had another anime hot take. Goku is not a bad father. He's, despite what any anime fans say, he's not a bad father. He does love his kids, but he's one of those people that is hyper focused on fighting and challenging himself and pushing himself that he does look like a bad father. But if you go back to the Cell games, to those moments of peace where he and Gohan were chilling and they mastered their Super Saiyan form and were relaxing with each other, you could see that they were bonding. You know, you can see that they were bonding with each other before they had to throw hands with Cell. Captain Levi is the best character in Attack on Titan. I don't care what anybody says, because he's outlasted everybody and only losing an eye and fingers towards the end of Attack on Titan. And my last anime hot take, these anime debates about 1v1s are pointless, because if you say somebody's favorite character is going to lose versus going to win, it starts in a whole unnecessary debate about how this person is wrong and stuff like that. So that's my anime hot take.
Okay, nice. All right, TikTok is like your domain. But how would you give advice to someone starting TikTok? Like, what would you say do to grow on there?
Because the funny thing about TikTok growth is it happens when you least expect it. And there's going to be days where your videos won't get that many views. There's going to be days where you might lose followers. And there's going to be days where you feel like you want to give up. But my main thing is to anybody starting TikTok, start it because you want to do something that's never been done, or you want to share a message or share your creativity. You know, you want to put yourself out there in a way that it's you, that when people come to see your content, it's you, it's not anybody else. You want to show who you are, because everybody in this world is trying to be somebody that they're not. So it makes no sense to come to another person's platform and see them doing the same thing as someone else. You can be inspired by people, you can be motivated by people, but be your own person as it pertains to being a content creator. And if you're a person like me that's already had like previous content in the works and you've already made content outside of other social media platforms, share that with your audience so they know who they're dealing with and who this person is and what they stand for, you know? And make sure you're doing it because you want to have fun with it. The main thing about anything in life is you got to have fun with it. Because if you're doing it and people can see that you're not having fun with the content that you produce, they're not going to take you seriously. Like, man, you don't look like you're having fun. You just look like you're doing it just to be doing it. And I say this as a rapper as well, because I'm a person that I listen to a lot of my old music. I listen to like the first project that I put out, the first few songs that I put out. And I smile because, yeah, they may be cheesy or they may be at a time where I was younger, but at the same time, I'm still proud of the work that I put in and, you know, the creativity that was put into like a song or a beat or and stuff like that. You know, even like with some of the content that I made, like one of the videos I put out yesterday was me and the characters that I created for my TikTok singing, you know, Freaking You by Jodeci. And I'm really into it with each of the characters that I'm portraying, which is myself, Goldie the Ratchet Gold Ranger, making Pure Midas, the Gold Ranger's Zord talk, and then making the Dragon Zord talk, and singing the song and having fun with it, you know? One thing as a content creator, regardless of what type of content you put out, you have to have fun with it, you know? And don't be afraid to make content. And I said this in a video. Don't be afraid to make content about what other people are going to say about you, because that they're going to talk. You can't get around. And what I had to learn is you can't get around people having, you know, a negative opinion of what you do. And as somebody who's a content creator and a blurred, I've gotten the stereotypical bro play with Power Ranger weapons. You don't get no women. But at the same time, But here's my biggest flex, though. Me playing with Power Ranger weapons and me talking about the things that I talk about on my TikTok has had people messaging me saying, you've helped me. I love to see somebody being themselves. I love to see a black man being himself and not trying to be anything else, because that's what I was taught growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really have a father figure growing up. So the men that I ran into that really had knowledge and really, you know, was trying to make a name for themselves and be different, and they saw who I was, they saw my energy and my character, they already knew I wasn't built for the streets. So why would I get on social media and flex like I'm out here in the streets with pistols and everything when every other person does that. That's not that. That's not the life that I live. I'm a nerd. This is what I do. You know. So, of course, there's going to be those dudes that say that about me. Like, I remember I had one right before Christmas. Dude was like, bro's almost 40 trying to be the Green Ranger. I could tell you get no hoes. And I'm like, if you think, and this is another flex of mine. If you think me trying to be the Green Ranger is not getting me any hoes, you're sorely mistaken. And any man that looks at another man and thinks that he don't get no women because of what he do, that's some things, because there've been a few lady sluts that have slid in my inbox over the course of time, liking me for me, not for being the Ratchet Green Ranger, not for trying to be a Power Ranger, not for being a Blurred, but for me being me. This has nothing to do with it, because at the end of the day, this is a prop weapon from my childhood show. Yeah, I hold it and I can twirl it and I can play the note, but at the same time, women like me for me, and any man that does that that pays attention to another man's sex game based on his hobbies, you're weird. You're negatively weird. You know, so I'm keeping it real. So my thing is, there's always going to be people that say stuff about you. Block them. Keep making your content, because the right people will find you. My mother said this to me at one point. When you find your tribe, you'll know who they are. You know, and you know, for me, TikTok has been a part of that. While growing, I'm finding people that like the same interests that I do, and
bars
who have, you know, experienced the same things that I've been through. So it's building a community, and you know, it's showing other people that you can be yourself, you can talk about the things that you can talk about, and it's going to lead you into a greater network of people who will see you, you know? So that's my message to anybody that wants to do TikTok content or any type of social media content that they want to do, you know? Life is too short to be pigeonholed or scared to do something because of the masses, you know?
Life's too short. I love that. Yes, sir. It's really speaking good. Of rappers, who's your favorite rappers? Who's your favorite rapper? Do you have favorite rappers, or do you have a favorite
rapper? I have favorite rappers. So one of my favorite rappers is Bay Area rapper Mr. Fab. I actually got a chance to meet him when I was like 19. Outside of Mr. Fab, there's E-40. DMX, rest in peace. Tech N9ne. I've been a Tech N9ne fan since I was 17. And not a lot of people know about Tech N9ne. I was like, what? I'm like, you know, Tech N9ne has been one of my inspirations to keep rapping, because if you ever looked at Tech N9ne and how he dresses, how he presents himself, and it's a little weird. So me seeing Tech N9ne with at the time that I bought Absolute Power with the spiky hair and the face paint that he does at his shows, it showed me that you don't have to be this gangster type person to say you're a rapper. You can be a rapper, but you can also be yourself. And mind you, I bought Absolute Power when I was 17, and I still have Absolute Power on CD. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, bet. And that gave me like the influence to keep rapping and develop my style based on the things that I've went through. And another person who's my favorite rapper, and this might be biased, is myself. And the reason I say myself is because I've watched myself grow as a rapper and as a person that makes his own beats. And then I'm also proud of my progress, because every album or mixtape that I've done independently, I've watched myself progress in talking about stuff and noticing, you know, that I'm talking about things that I wouldn't talk about, you know, as I got older. Like, for example, there's a song on my YouTube channel. It's called Lost Heart, and it's about a breakup that I went through. And for a minute, and this song is more than 10 years old now, but when I produced the song, the breakup was still fresh, right? And okay. I couldn't listen to the song like immediately after. But as time went by and as I started to heal from that breakup, I can go back and listen to that song without feeling anything. And that was like the very first song that I was emotionally vulnerable on as a rapper. And watching how I grew and listen, and even when I write songs and looking at how I write the songs, or even looking at the manner of cadence that I can spit in when it comes to certain open verse challenges I've done on TikTok, I really am proud of myself and my progress as a rapper. Now, I may not be well known or famous like everybody else, but I still am proud of the fact that as I'm evolving as a person, my music is evolving at the same rate, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why I am my favorite rapper. And I made this joke with somebody. I said this joke actually on a Facebook post years ago. I'd be like, I'm my own favorite rapper so much that I'd be like, when is Swatty Gentleman dropping the next song? Wait a minute, that's me.
You gotta be your biggest fan. You gotta be your biggest fan. Exactly. Do you have all right? So how often do you write? How often do you write? You said because that's hard.
The writing part of rapping is hard. Like, when I get a chance to, or when I sit down, or when I'm like really sitting down and I got like a beat that I made, or if it's a cover version of a song, like I'll sit down with that beat and like I don't get a chance to write that often, but when I do, I'm in the zone and I'm focused and I'm able to get my thoughts out on paper or on phone, because I got into the habit of writing my songs on phone and it's easier for me that way. So therefore, I don't have to go through notebooks and flip. But sometimes you will find me writing songs in a notebook as a way to still practice my handwriting and stuff like that. So I write every so often when I can, or when it's like, you know, when the mood strikes me, or like if I'm listening to a song, I listen to a beat that I made that I need to finish writing to, I'll sit with it until something else hits me, you know.
Dude, I dig it. Love the admiration. truly. Because I feel the same way in the sense, because I'm an author. So I published two books.
Oh, so, nice. So
when I look back on like unfinished projects or projects that I finished, I look back and I read, I'm like, damn, this motherfucker can write. And then like how you say, I'd be like, wait, that's me. I should do this more often. It's like right. Shit like that, man. I'm like, oh my God, like hearing other people talk about their love and passion in the artistic creative way, I fucking absolutely adore and love, because I'm like I see myself in that person too. And I'm like, oh my God, and also at the end of the day, you're also just building your resume. Like when you look back in your life, you're like, yo, I did this. I could say most people probably haven't done more than like one or two things. Right. And the fact that you're just building, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, it's a thing that, you know, comes natural with me. It's like, I'm proud of the stuff that I've done, whether it's a skit on my TikTok, a skit on my YouTube channel, or a song that I've done. Like, I've always been proud of it because I did that. I took time to, if it's a beat that I did, I took time to craft the beat. I took time to write the song and get into a space to record it. And it's something that, you know, as you said, when you get older and then when you look back, like, yeah, I did that. So you have to appreciate your own art before anybody else can appreciate it.
Yeah, because why would you put out something that you don't like? That just literally doesn't make any sense at all.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think people put out stuff that they don't like so it can bring them instant gratification, but that's not how it works. It's not how it should work. Because most people will see that you are invested in your craft from the moment that they pick up a book, listen to your music, stop by your social media pages to watch your content. You are invested in what you do. So so that speaks volumes to anybody wanting to like check out somebody new and see what they're really about, you know?
So when's the next song coming out? When's the next song coming out?
Oh man. If I could, probably by midsummer, I hope. Like, I'm always writing stuff like that, and then with the ability of social media, not the ability of social media, but smartphones and technology, you can literally do songs on your phone and stuff like that. If you have GarageBand, of course you can make beats on GarageBand, but you can also record on GarageBand. And once I figure out what song that I want to release, and mind you, I'm going to say something. Being a rapper and a producer, like, I have about 2 or 3 albums worth of beats that I could line up for projects. But it's just a matter of getting used to the way of mastering for the streaming generation and making sure that everything is done right. And so if I could give you a timeline, if I'm being honest with myself, probably by the summer, June or July is when I'll be able to actually drop a song and stuff like that. And hopefully I'll be able to not just make the song available for my YouTube and SoundCloud, maybe put it on Spotify and iTunes for purchase. So that way you can have the song, whether you want to stream it or you want to actually purchase the song. And I have to learn a little bit more of that, because I grew up in the era of hip hop where you sold CDs and you sold, you know, CDs out the trunk of your car or your backpack. That's the era of hip hop I grew up in, you know? So I have to learn hip hop for the streaming age, you know, learn about all of that other stuff before I put a song or a project out there, so I can be knowledgeable of that.
Yeah. I respect that. I'll buy it on iTunes. I mean, I use Spotify, but I'll buy it on iTunes.
Man, I appreciate it.
Hey, we need a theme song. We just throwing it out there. You know,
a theme song. That's crazy. Because
I'm just saying.
Hold on. Now here's the thing. Because certain followers have asked me to dive into nerdcore a little bit, and that would be hard for me because I can throw nerd bars in there every once in a while, but I can't switch my entire style to be nerdcore. Yeah. So now, since Tevin follows me on TikTok, I end my TikTok was saying, and that's on a Dragonzord. Now, I was thinking about this idea of actually making that a song, because I did make a beat using samples of the Green Rangers theme for...
I was going to say...
Hold on. I did make a beat using the Green Rangers theme as a sample, and I chopped the sample and made it a little bit high tempo and high energy. But I'm thinking of doing it, and I might as well do it, because, you know, that's been something I've said on my TikTok account. And here I'm going to tell you the reason I started saying it. So, again, I'm from the Bay Area. I'm from Oakland, California. And anybody that's familiar with Bay Area hip hop or slang, when we say something serious, we say, "And that's on my mama." So me being from the Bay Area and me being a Power Ranger fan, I incorporated the two and saying, "And that's on the Dragonzord," you know.
It comes
from me being from the Bay Area and me taking the Bay Area where I go, as far as, like, you know, the things that I say, the slang, the mannerisms and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm a nerd in the square and stuff like that, but I'm also from the Bay Area. So there have been times where I've said "Oh, my mama," in the midst of a conversation, like, let's say I'm talking to somebody, like, "Hey, bro, you see old girl over there? Oh, my mama, she bad as fuck." Something like that. Something simple as that. Like, it is, and that's where it really came from, because, you know, that's what we've been saying for like the past 10-20 years, and that on my either on my mama or and that's on my mama. Or I put that on my mama, you know? So there is a Bay Area influence into my content, you know, because that's where I'm from. That's where I grew up. And even though I don't live in the Bay Area no more, that doesn't mean I'm not from the Bay Area. I take that wherever I go with me.
I love it. We usually do this at the end of the show, but what question do you have for us? Do you have any questions for us?
Shoot. So my only question is... how did y'all come up with the name The Power of Friendship for y'all podcast?
I was thinking of like shows. I was like, something like, I want to talk about something like making friends. So I was like, I like anime. The Power of Friendship. That was easy. That was easy, easy as done. I was like, that's what I want to do. I want to make friends. I want to hear about different experiences. I want to just let people talk about their passions. I love hearing people talk about what they love. And I like the feeling of seeing people light up when they talk about the things they like. It's great. That's what I like. I like so much.
Got you. So, in the episodes that you guys have done, who has been your favorite person that you've gotten on your podcast? Gotten on your podcast, and who is somebody that y'all love to speak to at the time?
You go, Tevin.
All right. Yeah. So besides Suave the Gentleman, besides you,
I have my mommy and podcast daddy on here. Ashley B. Robinson and Jason Emmons, shout out to you guys. Also, Diego, you guys are like the triangle, the trifecta, the triforce. I've had Diego, shout out to him. But Roxy Stryer is the last one on my Infinity Gauntlet of Roxy Stryer, I'm coming for you. Please, I have to get you on my show. I'm coming for you. Roxy Stryer is the only one I have not had on my show yet. But my podcast mom and dad, they've been there for me ever since. I love them. They're great. Shout out to them. But Roxy Stryer. And also, before I die, Zack Snyder. Before I die. Zack Snyder.
Oh, that's cool.
So, I'm going to pick his brain. Yeah.
Have the connection for Zack Snyder with Meg, you know?
Shout out to Meg.
But for me, one of my favorite persons that I got was one of my artists, Chantera, who did the first cover. The artwork for my cover for my first book, having her on the show was actually like a drink of truth, just because got the chance to talk about art, tattoo, and all the stuff, and it was just a really amazing for me to have it. And then also Ashley B. Robinson, because I think that in itself changed the outcourse of this entire podcast from being something that just
That was our canon event. Ashley Robinson is our canon event.
So it went from just two friends doing a podcast to something that just spread globally, to the extent where we got invited for free to go to Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, a 4-day free pass. We went to NYC, bro. I mean, obviously the only thing that we had to do was just get our own rooms, but we stayed in Jersey across the bridge. But besides that, New York City, New York Comic-Con.
Right.
I never in my whole life thought I would go to New York Comic Con. And and the fact that it was because, Tevin reaching out and then us doing the podcast with Ashley V. Robinson was just a big, big thing. And it just was absolutely just beautiful in that sense. And for somebody that I would love to have on this podcast, as an author, I want more authors. It would be a dream to have Stephen King. I would love that. Oh my God.
That would be dope.
But one of my favorite sci-fi writers is Brandon Sanderson, who writes pretty much all my favorite fantasy series. Just to have him would just be a dream come true. But I'm happy with every person that we get on the show, because every single person that we have on the show is different, is unique and creative in their own way. And that's always been a pleasure. Every single episode here on out has been amazing. And I'm always excited for the next guest.
Right. That's cool, man. Let's see. If y'all had a choice of celebrity guests on your podcast, who would it be? And I know you just said Stephen King, so if you had a choice of I know Benny just said Stephen King, but if you had a choice of a celebrity to join your podcast for an episode, who would it be?
Oh, me? Oh, shit.
No, you first.
You first, Benny.
Oh, okay. If I had one, it would be, God, I'm trying to think of somebody I could just totally vibe with and just talk. No, you go. I need time.
Jason from the Power Rangers on my podcast. I've always wanted Jason on my podcast. Jason is my favorite, but oh my God, Power Rangers, that dude, him. Jason, I gotta have on.
I would love to have on somebody like with opposing views of mine. Of like why you feel that way. Somebody crazy. Like I would never like. Maybe Donald Trump. Something crazy. Donald Trump be crazy.
He's literally trying to make our life stressful as fuck.
I need to know why you feel the way you feel, how you feel. Because I love the opposite person talking to me. Without being disrespectful, and somebody's experience, I love that. It's scary, but I'm like, why do you feel that way? Why are you like this?
I got somebody.
What's going on?
Who you got?
I finished all four movies just recently. I would love to have Keanu Reeves.
The John Wick movies. Oh my god!
I watched all four of them this week.
Throughout my time that I've been living here in KC Mo, I watched those with my uncle. That man is bad. I don't care what any other role that Keanu Reeves has played, from Speed to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures or Neo from The Matrix. He was badass in the John Wick movies. He was badass because. But that would be dope though.
Because he's just a man of just so many different like elements, not just movies, just really just down to earth. And then the second one, personally, I would love Adam Sandler.
That would be funny. But man, y'all know Adam Sandler can hoop though, right?
Yo, he can, bro. You ever seen those videos, Seth?
You ever seen videos of Adam Sandler hooping in the gym?
He can ball, bro. He can ball.
Adam Sandler can hoop, and I love Adam Sandler too. He's one of those actors that's really down to earth as well. Like he's chill. Like the thing about Adam Sandler is he's chill. And like my favorite movies of Adam Sandler are Little Nicky, Billy Madison, and Happy Gilmore. Like those three movies are never get old to me. And of course, Eight Crazy Nights, and I believe it's still on Hulu, but. Those three movies are never get those will never get old to me. Like they could come on like actual cable television and I'll still watch them. You know,
he just makes movies with his friends. That's all he ever says. He don't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit about critics. He just makes movies with his friends.
Also, The Waterboy. I forgot The Waterboy because that's one thing that I noticed about Adam Sandler movies. Like from Waterboy, from Waterboy to like Little Nicky, the same people. That were in Waterboy, minus a few, were the same people that were in Little Nicky. Like the football players that were on his team in Waterboy were the devil worshippers in Little Nicky. And I think that's dope. And I think that's dope too. When you can make products and contents with your friends, and it's still refreshing. Oh, Big Daddy, can't forget about Big Daddy.
But like. Oh, he made his own studio, Happy Madison Production, just for that, because obviously he got big from SNL, from stand-up comedy, and then he just broke out. He made his own studio. He's like, look, I'm not going to just deal with people. I want my own control. And you know what? It's worked out because he has this big-ass multi-contract with Netflix. Mm-hmm. He's a household name. And he's also a great family man, from what I've like heard. Like that dude has been with the same woman since like Billy Madison days. I mean, he's just down to earth, and I can respect the craft. Like I don't he does not give a crap what anybody else. But that dude can act. I've seen him act in movies, man. Like he can do some serious roles if he really wants to. And that dude is an artist.
Yes, he is, man. You gotta give flowers to Adam Sandler, man. Gotta give flowers to Adam Sandler. But yeah, that's all the questions I think I have.
Hey, gosh. All right. At the end of the show, we ask you, what are you watching, what are you reading, or what are you listening to? So what are you watching?
What I'm watching right now, I'm actually watching like a lot of like some classic shows like on Hulu, because I primarily watch stuff on like streaming services now. So I started watching the classic Steve Harvey show on Hulu. Anime wise, I started watching Tokyo Revengers, which the second season ended. But I found a site to watch the first season, so I didn't just start at the second season on Hulu. Spy Family. I'm getting back into watching Boruto.
Okay.
I'm getting back into watching Boruto, and I'm taking recommendations for like new stuff to watch, and the slightly newest movie that I did watch was the second Space Jam with LeBron James, and okay. I actually liked that, and I actually had to really make a deal with myself. I don't want to criticize a movie that I haven't watched yet, because being a person who's a millennial, I know that nostalgia is heavy with us, because I saw the Space Jam movie, the OG Space Jam movie, in theaters.
Me too. Yeah.
Right. And I had Space Jam. I had a Space Jam Michael Jordan toy. I don't have it anymore, but I remember having it. And so I gotta give stuff a chance. Listening to not far as a lot of new music that I listen to, like, but if I hear something like out and about, like, I'll try to give it a listen to. So some of the stuff I still listen to is like from maybe the 2010s or like the 2000s. And I'm slowly trying to get to listen to like current stuff, because I don't want to just say this current generation of music is horrible without actually giving it a chance, because I think that's unfair. And that's coming from an artist standpoint. I can't say this era of music is unfair, is not as bad if I don't give the songs a chance. Like, but there are artists who I've, you know, discovered via TikTok. There's the rock band Sleep Theory that I discovered. There's a female rapper by the name of Scotty that's out of Florida that I discovered on TikTok. And she has been independent. She's opened up for Rolling Loud a couple of times. So I have a couple of her songs from her SoundCloud in my playlist when I'm working out. And, you know, I'm trying to get into more listening to more current music so I can see what's going on. But one song that I really had on repeat recently was Cobra by Megan Thee Stallion. Cobra by Megan Thee Stallion.
It's hard because I have it in my playlist. I was listening to it the other day and I was like, it's hard.
Because here's the thing, I'm a person that's I'm a fan of Megan Thee Stallion. I'm a fan of like the things that she's doing, not only as an artist but outside of being an artist and stuff like that. You know, she's got a sponsorship with Planet Fitness, and I go to Planet Fitness to work out, and I'm like, seeing her on TV, I'm like, okay, get to the bag then. But the reason I like Cobra so much is what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, mental health and things that she was going through. You know, when you look at it when you listen to Cobra from that lens, you're like, damn, she was going through all of this shit, and she's a successful rapper, and she's been in She-Hulk. She was in a lot of stuff, and everybody knows who Megan Thee Stallion is, and she's going through this stuff that a regular working person is going through. And I think that a celebrity showing vulnerability is key, and that's why it's my favorite song. The beat is awesome, by the way. That beat is awesome. But the fact that she really told her story and she really expressed how she was, what she was going through. The line that she says, the line of the second verse that hit me is saying, damn, I'm killing myself. Damn, I finally see I'm killing myself with bitches will die to be me. I'm like, oh, that hits differently, because she's focusing on, she's knowing that she's this celebrity and she has a star power. And she's understanding that there was other women that would love to be in her shoes, but she's at a bad place in her life during the times or the events of the song, you know. So that's one song that I had on repeat. That, you know, when I followed Megan Thee Stallion and I saw that, I was like, let me go check Cobra out. Then you go, dun dun, dun dun, dun dun, yeah. Dun, dun. So that's one. That's one thing that that's one song that's been in active rotation. As far as reading, there actually is a book that I have to read, and it's actually by somebody that's a close friend of mine. And when I lived in Vegas, I used to work at a call center, and I met my friend Kate at this call center, and Kate was one of the managers, and she was actually one of my managers for a brief period of time. And when I had difficult calls, she would actually tell me, "You got this." And that stuck with me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so before she moved to Vegas, her and her husband wrote a sci-fi Norse mythology book called Fenrir. And it's put up somewhere, and it's here with me. And I'm gonna have to start reading that, because I, you know, life has happened and then got heavy into content creation, work, and you know, my own individual fitness goals. So I didn't get a chance to read the book. So that's one book I'm going to read pretty soon. Then I have a book about mindfulness as it pertains to mental health that I bought from Barnes and Noble. I'm gonna have to finish that book. And then there's actually books that I want to get from that I want to buy from Amazon. And there's one by this very popular content creator. I'm not sure if you've heard of her, but her name is The Spiritual Whistleblower. And she talks about narcissism and narcissism abuse as it pertains to both men and women. And she's very popular on TikTok as well. She has about, I want to say, well over 100,000, probably close, pushing to about 3, 4, or 5. I gotta check it out. But she talks about narcissism and points out narcissism behavior in both men and women. And she's wrote a couple of books. And there's one book that I want to get, and it's called My Family Can Kiss My Ass. And it's on Amazon. So again, Spiritual Whistleblower is another black woman that is on TikTok doing positive things with her message and what she stands for. So that's one of the books that I want to get in the future. But as far as like manga, I don't know. I'm not a big manga reader, but I'm going to try, because I know that eventually I'm going to see the anime, but one of these days I'm going to start giving manga a try. But I'm definitely looking forward to like when certain animes come back and things of that nature. But that's what I'm, you know, watching, reading, and listening to.
Yes. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for coming on. Tell them where they can find you, Swallow Dylan.
You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Bandcamp, and SoundCloud at Swallow Gentlemen for all social media platforms. And of course, on X, better known as Twitter. Also, at Swatted Gentlemen, that's where you can find me at. And yeah, thank you guys for having me. I truly appreciate it. Yeah, I truly appreciate it so much.
Listen, man, anytime you want to come on, promote, you want to promote, put your music video on. We got you, yes, need
anytime
us.
Anytime you want to be on the show, just let us know.
Okay.
We ready.
You already know. Baby. We gotta get you. Hey, we got something. You better got something. Better keep that thing on him. Yeah.
Is that the Ninja Storm one?
Nah, he got Pokemon. Dust Ball.
Oh, yeah. Man, but yeah.
Hey, I got the red in there. Red, yes, baby.
Yes, sir. And I definitely have to get the Tommy Morphin Master one. That's definitely.
Oh, yeah. That's on your roll.
That's on my roster. But, man, thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Benny, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Benny J. Blanco and on the Twitter at the Benny J. Blanco. What about you, young sailor?
You can find me at Sailor Games 18 anywhere. TikTok, your house, your mom's house, your dad's. I'm hanging out with everybody. Okay? We're here. TikTok to have fun with your family. We love you guys. Drink your water. Tell people you love them. Be nice. Be kind. Swallow the gentleman. Give us some advice for the day.
Man, my only advice for the day is to take it. Let me rephrase that. My advice to everybody for the day is appreciate the small moments in life. Appreciate the small moments in life, because when that big moment hits, you'll appreciate it even more. So always take time to appreciate the smallest victories and moments in your life. That's it.
Yes. Yes. Don't forget to like, subscribe, hit that button. Share with your mom and dad. We love you. Have a great day. Peace.
Peace. Have a good one, y'all.